You're listening to your Top 75 NBA Podcast with David and Kane. Kane, I want to thank you for asking me, your special friend.
Very special.
To MC at this Ring of Honor event for your Buccaneers championship coach, your hero, racist John Gruden.
I mean, that's not a good introduction, but like... How do I like sum this up? Basically, I feel it's fine. Like, I think I said this last time, I think maybe it was regarding Kyrie, I don't know. Do you remember what the topic was about cancel culture? Like, basically, I'm okay with it. I really think this is like it's almost like a legacy of the older white generation. I mean, any generation really, that's a bit racist. But I feel like it's something that's left over from the culture that was in power before us that just had this atmosphere and didn't automatically dismiss people that made racist or sexist or misogynistic remarks, if you weren't a white male, basically. And John Gruden was obviously part of that, and he probably even championed it a lot. And, you know, what happened was New York Times, the leak sources, I guess, and New York Times wrote an article, like a story about how John Gruden wrote a series of emails for about 8 years. So not that long ago, like from like 2010. So this was after his employment as a Buccaneers. As far as I know, he was a model citizen as the Buccaneers head coach. It was only after he...
Don't try to distance yourself.
It was only after 2009 when he got fired as the Buccaneers coach, that he got a gig on ESPN. He was like, and then eventually got hired by the Raiders in Oakland originally. And during that time, he had a string of emails that the New York Times uncovered, where he wrote a lot of bad language, basically, that targeted, had like racist and sexist tropes to the Washington football team president then. And, basically, he was just emailing the Washington football team email account. It's like, if I have like personal remarks, if I email you, but I email to your work account, not your personal email. He was like literally emailing his work, the person he was emailing, like their work account. I mean, this is a very loaded story. Like, there's so many like things you can talk about, but I guess if you're like asking me to defend it, I don't want to, because I think justice is served, it's fine. But I think this is not the end of the story for justice, because what happened was New York Times, as part of this story, found that John Gruden was culpable, like, in all of these like remarks that he made over email. But actually what New York Times found was there were over 650,000 emails sent, like, that they were investigating, and we only found the emails sent from one person, John Gruden, now former head coach and now person non grata. No, the New York Times did not mention any other personnel or people or what the responses were to John Gruden's emails or anything. It's a very targeted article. Not blaming New York Times, but you don't know who were pulling the strings to leak out the sources. And maybe John, and what a lot of people in the media are saying, like, John Gruden was a target, almost like a hit job of like trying to cancel his career. And obviously because of this, John Gruden is like now resigned or been fired.
I see your angle. You're taking the angle of trying to humanize John Gruden in order to keep him in your Ring of Honor.
No, he's out of my Ring of Honor. I don't care about the man. What I'm saying is that this shouldn't be the end of the story. I don't think anyone is letting the NFL off the hook, because what I'm trying to say is that we only got one side of the story. We don't really know what the other side of the story is. Not regarding John Gruden, but what the responses were, what the replies were, what other people said about other things. There's a lot of other names that have been left off or been like, what do you call it? Like black texted out?
Redacted.
A lot of names redacted. So in order to... for us to understand the full scope of the story and like really comment about this old culture of, you know, misogyny and racism, we really have to just step back a bit and wait until all details come to light. And I'm fine with John Gruden taking the fall for now, but he's just a scapegoat. I mean, there's going to be a lot of other people that are going to join John Gruden in this ring of cancel.
You make a good point that, yes, this does feel like a bit of a hit job on John Gruden. Not to make John Gruden into a victim.
Of course. I don't want to make him a victim. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Thus far, all we've seen is John Gruden's emails. We haven't seen the replies. What are the replies? Presumably, if there's a string of these inappropriate emails from John Gruden, clearly the other side did not shut him down.
The other side's like, stop it. John, don't send me this.
John, exactly, exactly. Clearly, this was accepted. This was a normal way of operating. Yeah. So it's not like he sent the first video of the cheerleaders. Someone shut it down immediately. Like, well, hey, don't. What is this? Don't send this to me.
Yeah, of course not. Yeah.
John Gruden is a bad apple, but he's not the only one.
Exactly. He's a bad apple, but it's also a rotten tree.
Okay, so let's get off.
So I'm done with him. So I'm done.
You're done with him. Yeah. You know? No, I'm proud of you. I like to hear that.
This isn't a great year for my heroes, huh? There's a lot of my heroes, like my former heroes, that are being canceled.
Maybe use me as a role model. Look at the people that I follow. LeBron James. Okay, you find anything wrong with LeBron?
LeBron James definitely is one of the greatest role models in terms of like two sports stars of all time. That's rare. I think I always looked up to LeBron, even just as a family man, like Steph Curry as well, similar vein. The thing that LeBron does for the community, like just his local community and for the Black community in America, I think that is amazing. He's not, he's not always, like sometimes he's a bit apolitical. I think I've said this before as my, as like a little bit of like, cut against LeBron. But he's sometimes apolitical to certain topics that he just doesn't want to touch. He doesn't want to get into because he just doesn't care about it enough, obviously. But the things he really is passionate about, I'm glad that he does make a hard stance against those things.
I find nothing wrong with it. Look, LeBron's trying to build schools in his community, not in China.
Mm.
Okay. He's doing what's necessary to build schools, to improving his community. His community.
Okay, I said that's fine. That's fine. I said that's good.
Yeah. Sorry, he's not a freedom fighter. He's not that, what's that? Greta Thunberg or whatever her name is.
Okay, good. Yeah, good. I'm not saying he has to fight for everything. I'm just saying that's something that he has to, you know, answer to sometimes, you know? That because he's so famous that people are going to ask him a lot of questions. And when he doesn't have a stance, people question why he doesn't have a stance.
Okay, so the other topic that we've been following, which is Melbourne's finest, Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons. Reporting live from Australia, Kane, give me the latest.
Let's start with Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons, I saw him walking the streets. He's happy in Australia. He said he's home. he doesn't like people booing him all the time in the streets of Philly. He doesn't like people like spitting in his food. He's sick of it. And I think that's why he's requesting a trade to the Sydney Kings, you know?
I think
the Kings are going to send...
Andrew Bogut, Ben Simmons, straight up. Who says
Andrew Bogut and Ben Simmons.
Is he anti-vax too? I'm not sure, actually. Because apparently he had to quarantine for like a week before joining the Sixers practice facilities, which meant that he was not vaccinated.
It means he's not vaccinated. Well, yeah, that's the news. So he was away from the team for a while, and then suddenly in the cloak of night he returned without telling the Sixers that he came back to Philadelphia to do his medical. And I guess, like you said, he had a quarantine, so that's how we know he's not vaccinated. But yeah, Ben Simmons is back in the facility. He's back in Philadelphia. He hasn't joined the bench, like as in like he hasn't attended any games. Because he's apparently, I think at first it popped up that he had a lower back injury. So that's why he couldn't play. And then later, I think it came
out. He's mentally ill as well.
He is mentally not ready to play because he feels that he's not possible for him to play to the level that he feels like he can play at.
Okay.
I think I'd like to hear. Okay, you go first. Actually, I like to hear.
So what I read that to mean
is I do want you to not be too insensitive, though. This is a rising issue with Naomi Osaka and Simone Biles.
Yeah.
That's being right. Champions of the space, so please be respectful. No,
I hear you. I definitely want to stay in Kane's ring of honor. So what I'm hearing is his back hurts and he's mentally ill. Is that what his excuse is now? Look, I have to be very sensitive here. I got to be very careful, Kane. As we know, one of the things that can happen when you say that you're mentally not ready, if it's due to mental issues, then it is considered an injury. And therefore, he doesn't have to
play and get paid.
Now, this is very cynical. This is an extremely cynical point of view.
Which is fair given the circumstances.
I think it's a very valid one. We have discussed on previous shows, to not feel right mentally. What does that actually entail? What does that actually mean? It's not something that you can easily diagnose. Yes, he's not happy. Okay. Does that mean he's mentally incapable of playing, of doing his job? Maybe one of his dogs shitted on his carpet that morning. And he's not happy. Does that mean he can skip practice that day? So I think the danger of going down this path is, and I hope Ben Simmons doesn't do this, if he's really using this as a way to get paid, is that he's actually hijacking.
Yes, perfect. Yes, this is exactly what I was going to say.
Because there are players that suffer from this. We well know players like Kevin Love dealing with panic attacks, anxiety. We know players like Ron Artest, way back, before we even knew what this was. Ben Simmons just needs to be a bit careful here. Don't hijack this for the other players. Don't ruin this for players that actually need this.
I don't think I can add anything else. That's exactly what I wanted to say. And hijack is the key word. Because what's worse than someone that doesn't understand it is using it, to exploiting it for their own gain, especially financially, especially with financial and selfish reasons. And given the timeline of events of Ben Simmons abandoning the team, if you will, not joining the team, not even abandoning Philadelphia, he also didn't want to play for Team Australia. So there's a lot of things that he has used the excuse for to skirt his responsibilities. He has a lot of people looking up to him. It's not just basketball players. It's also like kids and stuff that look up to Ben Simmons as a role model, especially Australian kids. They look at Ben Simmons as a hero, one of the best players in the NBA, definitely one of the best defensive players for sure. And him skirting these responsibilities and now using possibly an excuse to skirt his responsibilities is a very, very low move. I do hope that, what he's doing right now to focus on his mental health, he's doing it for the right reasons. And as far as we know, Philadelphia is taking this seriously. They're putting all the resources to help Ben Simmons in his quest to improve his mental health. And, hopefully it's real, because I really hate to see all the skeptics be proven right, basically. I hate for all the old age journalists that scoff at this idea of mental health being proven right. That would be the most damning thing for the people that really suffer from this illness, this disease. And honestly, I could never forgive Ben Simmons for that. It really is like, you don't want to cast judgment right now because you can't do it. Like, you really can't do it. You want to be sensitive to the issue and you want to respect Ben Simmons and his quest to be right mentally and physically. But this is not the right way around it if he's just trying to get paid. That's just not good.
So we'll see what happens with Ben Simmons. Let's transition to someone that we definitely know does have mental issues, Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie initially, just before the beginning of the season, they were talking about trying to find a way for Kyrie to be a part-time player. So because he's not vaccinated, he can't play in New York and other select cities that have mandates where you have to be vaccinated to play in indoor stadiums. And they were trying to find a way of like seeing if Kyrie could play the away games, basically like games away from Brooklyn and New York and California. But they just prior to the beginning of the season, just before they got smashed by the Bucks, they had a closed door meeting. So Sean Marks, Joe Tsai, presumably, and obviously Kevin Durant, James Harden. And from that meeting, after that day, it was decided that Kyrie Irving would step away from the team and not be involved in any basketball activities until he gets fully vaccinated. So that means two shots. That is a move that I applaud. It's a move that is not trying to be like half foot in, half foot out kind of thing like that. It's clear. It's clear what the agenda of this team is. You're either in or you're out. You can't not be vaccinated. This every other person on this team, regardless of the reservations, regardless of the personal beliefs, have bought into the team's agenda, which is get vaccinated, play basketball, commit to the team. Kyrie is obviously not fully committed to the team. He's not fully committed to the philosophy of what the team is trying to preach and just basically what Brooklyn is about. Brooklyn, the home stadium was a hub for vaccinations. It was a place where people went to get vaccinated. Brooklyn as a whole is so bought into this message. And Kyrie, being who he is entitled to his opinions and beliefs. I'm perfectly okay with him doing that. But if he wants to do that, if he wants to follow his dreams of being an anti-vax champion, then you just do it on your own dime. You just go do it away from the Nets, basically. And it's unfortunate that he still gets half his salary because that's still way too much. That's still way too much money than he deserves. But yeah, just be happy, Kyrie. Be happy, but it's obviously not going to be with it. You can't do both. That's all. And I'm glad the Nets decide, and obviously Kevin Durant, most importantly, agreed that this is the way to go to focus on basketball, focus on their mission, which is to win a championship. And if Kyrie joins the team later because he chooses to get vaccinated later, I'm sure they'll open him. Like, the reality is he's one of KD's best friends, so KD is probably going to be more than happy to welcome Kyrie back. But until then, I think they know what their position is. Like, if you're not vaxxed, you can't play with us.
Look, I like it. I think this gives clarity to the roster. I think this is going to really help the role players on this roster. At least now they have clarity over the minutes. If Kyrie decides to join them in, let's just say the worst case, like he joins them in April would be a little too late. But let's say after the All-Star game. Let's just say after the All-Star
February.
Game.
February. Yeah, okay.
You can still view that as getting a really good free agent or signing right before the end of the season, right? So there's still time to...
Still a lot of time.
Exactly. It may be even better this way. This way, at least he started the early parts of the season incorporating the new players, and there are many new players. Jesus Christ, I'm just looking at the recent game against Sixers, the Nets won against Sixers. LaMarcus Aldridge scored 23 points, shot 10 for 12.
In like 25 minutes as well. Yeah, I like LaMarcus Aldridge. I think also it also just proves how big Patty Mills is going to be. Like, that free agent signing is just amplified now that, you know, we're out of our starting point guard, basically. Because also, if you look at the stat, Patty Mills has not missed a three-pointer. He's like 10 of 10 in his first two games. He has not missed a three-pointer yet. And Kevin Durant is like probably 25% starting the year. Kevin Durant has not shot well. James Harden has been pretty turnover prone more than usual, I feel. He's not in peak. He wasn't like when he first arrived in Brooklyn last year where he was so efficient and knew his role. For like now, it just feels like he's trying to relearn almost like how to be a scorer again. He's so used to passing it when he first got to Brooklyn. Now it's like Steve Nash is like, look, I need you to become 35 point per game James Harden. And he's kind of like having to relearn how to take over.
I'm not saying Patty Mills is better than Kyrie. No one's going to say that. But guess what? I want Patty Mills on my team. I think Patty Mills can teach KD. What do you think about that? Patty Mills has a lot to teach James Harden. Patty Mills, he was playing over the summer with the Australian team. This guy's ready. There's no ramp up with Patty Mills. He stays ready.
No, there's no ramp up. He's ready. He's a professional. He's a vet. I've seen huddles when they break into timeouts. KD and Patty Mills are the first to talk to each other a lot of times. And Patty Mills is always in the ear of Steve. Patty Mills has earned the trust of this team. Obviously, his court time is tied into his shooting. He needs to stay hot efficiently, be efficient with his shooting. Joe Harris is not shooting well. James Harden is not shooting well. Kevin Durant. So they're looking at LaMarcus Aldridge and Patty Mills coming off the bench to bring that spark. And right now, they're earning it in big, big, big ways.
Patty Mills is almost like an assistant coach. He's bringing Spurs DNA.
He knows the Popovich. He knows the Popovich coaching style. Same as Sean Marks, same as Thiago Splitter. A lot of these guys have come from, like you said, the San Antonio Spurs way of running things. And I think Steve Nash is a fine. I think he's an average coach, to be honest. But I think that his best quality is his ability to delegate, which it wasn't something that's not that easy. Like if you look at like Jason Kidd or other kind of hotshot coaches, it's not the easiest thing. Jacques Vaughn like sometimes runs the huddle, you know, like that's the kind of coach Steve Nash is. He's not some guy that's like taking over. He's just a guy that apparently just has the respect because, you know, he's one of the best 75 players of all time. You know, that's what he is. So that's why players listen to him.
Let's talk about the NBA's top 75 list. Interesting things I noticed is that they kept the top 50 players from when they first came up with the list 25 years ago. And I thought that was a bit strange. I think most people would think that in the last 25 years, this is probably like, you know, we're in a golden period of basketball. Like, in other words, this last 25 years, we've had way more talent, better talent than we had the first 50 years.
Yeah, of course. It's a bit strange, but I don't think it's fair for the old timers, if you will, to get bumped off the list just because of the new guys, which obviously, undeniably, they're more talented. But I think what the point of, if I may, I think the point of these like lists, these anniversary lists, isn't to say like these are the absolute best 75 players ever to play NBA. It's more that these are the most influential, these are the most impactful, these are the most historically relevant 75 players. You can't talk about the NBA. You can't tell the story of the NBA without one of these 75 players. And obviously there are more players that weren't on this list, but there's no way that you can tell the history of the NBA without any one of these 75 players. They would all be part of the fabric of the NBA. Sorry, I was saying NFL, NBA, of the NBA. And so it's not fair to the old timers that obviously they're not going to be as good because they only play like 5-6 years maybe, but they were part of the foundation of the NBA. And we also obviously weren't like close to being alive when they were in like playing in the prime. So that's why I'm okay with it, because it kind of gives us a chance to reflect on the original 50th anniversary team, look back at, you know, what the accolades were and accomplishments were. And it kind of just helps tell the story and history of that. I think it helped. I think it's good. Otherwise, it's just like, you know, you're going to see names like Jimmy Butler and you know, like I think Jimmy Butler's great. He probably maybe wouldn't.
He does really intense practices.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, can you really say like Jimmy Butler should be one of the best 75 players of all time? I don't know. Like, he's, it's that sort of level to me.
Latrell Sprewell, he's got really strong hands. Really knows how to apply the mustard. Do you know that story?
Like,
PJ Colarissimo asked him to like put a bit more mustard on the pass, and he went over and started choking him. Latrell started choking the coach. Oh my God.
Poor PJ.
What a weirdo.
Poor PJ.
Yeah, I mean, talk about someone that needs like mental help, right?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, there's lots of names from the first 50 that I don't recognize. But Of the players I recognize, especially the new additions, I don't have any issues with them.
Like, it's hard to look because they haven't ordered it. They haven't said, like, Michael Jordan, LeBron. Like, they didn't put in any order. So you don't really know, like, is this alphabetical or whatever, like, order that they gave it? Like, it's not... James Worthy isn't the worst player on this list, you know? Like, it's just because he has a W in his name. I think it's, like, fun. Like I said, I'm happy with that they included the original
50. Wait a minute. I take that back. Was Yao Ming in there? Did they add Yao Ming?
No. I think there was only, like, 4 international players, like, including Tim Duncan.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There wasn't many international, like Giannis, obviously. I can't. You're right, though, because based on what I was saying, like, it's hard to tell the story of the NBA without Yao. Like, I know we're Chinese. Well, I'm not Chinese, but like.
You calm down, white boy.
Can you. don't interrupt me, please.
Just calm down.
With your sovereign mouthpiece.
Okay, sorry. Yes, white man.
But, like, you know, he was ambassador. He was an international ambassador, so. Clearly, he's had a huge impact for the NBA and international relations. So I think that is a good shout out for a snub. To be honest, you know, stats and, you know, the years he was he was never one of the best centers, despite how many All Star appearances he made. But you know, obviously his stats aren't great, and his playoff performances aren't great because he just never stayed healthy long enough, like from a basketball perspective. Purely on-court perspective.
But yeah, okay, I didn't catch that. I think Yao should have been on the list.
I guess. Like, you look at some of these, I'm like, I'm just reading some names I don't recognize at all. Mm-hmm. But, like, Jerry Lucas, I kind of know. I kind of recognize, but I don't really know his accomplishments. Dolph Skase. Do you know Dolph Skases? Some of these names I do recognize, I guess. Dave DeBusschere. That's real. I never know. I never...
I've heard Dave, like, DeBusschere? A lot of these names I've heard of, but I don't know them. Like, there should be no players from, like, the first, or maybe there's one or two players in the first, like, 10 or 25 years. Like, seriously, they didn't even know how to play the sports back then. Like, that's hardly, like, basketball. People are, like, dribbling around in a circle.
Yeah. Like, even recent players, like, I'm, like, just judging contemporaries, but I don't know, like, would I have Paul Pierce or even Ray Allen over, like, Vince Carter, for example, or Tracy McGrady? Like, maybe. It's definitely tight. I'm not saying that's a no-brainer, but you know what I mean? Like, it's some tough choices. Like, Paul Pierce, I guess statistically, is better than those two. But, I mean, Vince Carter is a top 20 scorer of all time. So, like, top 20 scorer of all time, given, like, you know, how many years he's played, given his longevity, is not
a top 25. And he played till he was, like, 40.
Not a top 75 player. Like, that's... questionable.
Yeah.
Tracy McGrady, one of the best offensive players of all time, given his prime. That's kind of debatable too. But, like, Damian Lillard's on this list. Can you really tell me that? I'm judging based on contemporary. This is what I'm saying. Like, you can't judge it based on original 50 to new 50 because it's not fair. Because obviously Dwight Howard is a way better player than Earl Monroe. You know, there's no way you can tell me that. In the prime, Dwight Howard can't destroy Earl Monroe.
Yeah, I think this is probably the biggest snub that I thought was off the list was Dwight Howard. And I'm not a big Dwight Howard fan, although I love, you know, Lakers Dwight Howard. But during Dwight's prime, he always bothered me. I don't know why. He just didn't seem to take it seriously. But there's no denying that Dwight Howard, for that 5-year stretch, was the most dominant big man when big men still mattered in the NBA. So I don't understand how he's not part of the last 25 years, because it's not like modern three-point basketball happened 25 years ago, 5 to 8 years ago.
Like, who would you rather in their prime leading a team, Dwight Howard or Paul Pierce?
Dwight Howard proven that he's probably more valuable than Paul Pierce. I mean, the only thing that's missing is Dwight Howard didn't win a championship in his prime when he was leading the team. But then you can argue neither did Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce didn't do shit until he got, you know, until the big three, essentially. And he'd done nothing since the big three. And Dwight Howard.
Well, easy. You know, he went to Brooklyn. So he did pretty well in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Easy there. He's in Brooklyn great.
Okay. Brooklyn. Ring of Honor. But Dwight Howard, you know, he multiple rebounding titles. Dwight Howard, what, 4-time? Defensive Player of the Year, 5-time Defensive Player of the Year. Certainly the best center.
3-time defensive
the best center for multiple years, to the point where he was so good that, you know, clearly it bothered Shaq because he spent at least half a decade trying to degrade Dwight Howard. He was so bitter about people mentioning Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard, slam dunk champion. And I don't mean that slam dunk champion is important, but the fact that he was basically one of the most popular players in the league, the face of the league, I think that matters. And ultimately, Dwight Howard, guess what? Even though he was a role player when he won that Lakers championship, I think that mattered. That shows that he was able to transition into a different type of player. And that tells me longevity.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's some questionable names on the current day because you're kind of banking a potential as well. Like, Giannis obviously deserves to go in. But, like, Anthony Davis, for example, you can't tell me shit that Anthony Davis would have been a top 75 if he didn't win a championship like two seasons ago.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you.
There's no way Anthony Davis makes the top. Maybe based on potential and just how unicorn-like he is.
Without LeBron, Anthony Davis can't win shit.
Yeah. So I just don't like...
With LeBron, he's in like street clothes half the time.
Right. So I just don't like these young guys that haven't quite proven it yet. And Giannis is the exception because he's young and he's already proven it. There's a difference. He did it as like the leader of the team. But Anthony Davis, Damian Lillard, I guess Paul Pierce, but you know, that's debatable because I think he is a great player. But there's just some names that, you know, you're kind of batting your eye if they've made it, but Dwight Howard, considered one of the greatest at his position, didn't make it. Like, let me ask you a question. And I know we both agree on this, but like, let me ask you a question. Can you, like, during your playing career, be anointed like one of the best players in your position of all time and then continue playing and then like start to suck and then get that title taken away from you just because you're still playing and you're kind of sucking now? Can you then just be like taken off that title of being the best, like one of the best centers of all time?
Well, you can't, because they've kept the top 50 players. They didn't change that list at all. So it just feels like once you're on it, you're on it. But, you know, in the case of Anthony Davis, if you want to add him on the list, then add him on the next 50 or 25 years list. Because if he's really one of the greatest, then he'll continue to be great. He's still young, right? So he should be able to still be great for the next 10 years, in which case he can make the next list. But this is not the next list. This list is starting from like 95 or something, right? That's got nothing to do with Anthony Davis. Like, get out of here.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he's obviously a great player.
Until LeBron gave him a championship, Anthony Davis has done jack shit.
Like, I'll put it this way. Who would I rather have, like, starting my team? Anthony Davis or Giannis? Like, it's actually, like, it's still a tough decision. I mean, it's not automatically a Giannis. Like, I think Giannis gets the head just because he's such a great defensive player and he's not as injury prone. But Anthony Davis is still so good, like, because he can do so much for you. So, yeah, he's a great player. Like, he deserves to get a lot of recognition. But, yeah, this list seems just so inconsistent when you have other great players that have won championships and accolades as, like, big important, like, Klay Thompson. He was a big-time player for his team. You know, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, you know, the guys that have really, like, formed dynasties with their team and probably took a backseat to those sort of accolades because they weren't like the star style player, but still extremely important. They didn't make the list. This is the part that kind of confuses me. Like, is this the most talented players or is it the most accomplished? Is it the most accomplished players? Because you got the original 50 and they're not more talented than the new players, but then, you know what I mean? Like, then you got the new players, but then some of them are just based on stats and not based on accomplishments. Championships, like those accolades. It's just based on whatever stats they got. Like, Damian Lillard is a great player, but what has he done except just score up points? Like, he hasn't won an MVP. How many times has Damian Lillard finished in top five? Like, Dwight Howard finished in top five a lot of times.
Damian Lillard, how many times have Dame Lillard been swept by the Golden State Warriors?
Golden State Warriors.
Swept. I'm not talking about lose. It's okay to lose. I'm swept. Yeah. They couldn't win a single game. This is like top 75 player. He can't win a game against the Warriors? No. No, can't do.
Yeah.
I mean, the other names I'm okay with. Kyrie not being on the list. Okay, I can understand that, right?
I can understand too. Yeah, of course. Yeah. I'm just saying these are snubs that are close. And like, okay, so like we're saying Damian Lillard shouldn't be on this. So, or not that shouldn't be on this, but like, he is questionable, same as Anthony Davis. Would you have Dwight Howard over those two?
I really would. And which is like crazy, right? Because, you know, I cheer for LeBron's team. I cheer for Anthony Davis. But, you know, objectively, I can't put Anthony Davis above Dwight Howard. He's a better player than Dwight Howard. But, you know, this is talking about the last 25 years. I'm not talking about the next 10 years.
Mm. Would you have Kyrie over those two?
Definitely not. Kyrie has done nothing.
Won a championship. He made the biggest shot of all time against the greatest.
Okay,
team.
I agree. I agree with that. Like, that's, you know, you get me with that every time.
I can bring this up every time.
There's no denying that. Okay, that was huge. That was iconic shot. That was huge shot. He was critical to that,
like,
team.
Can you tell the story of the NBA without Kyrie's shot? Defeating the greatest team, regular season team,
probably
of
not,
all time?
Because that championship, yeah, that championship meant a lot, and that was a critical moment in that series. Obviously, game 7.
In the NBA history.
It made history, exactly. But then you have to, I don't know, it needs to be more, your body of work needs to be more than just a series or a year, right? And if we expand out a bit on Kyrie, you know, he didn't really accomplish anything without LeBron. He was like fist fighting Dion Waiters prior to LeBron, and post LeBron, he went over to, you know, the Celtics and blew up that team, and now he's like trying to blow up the Nets.
He was the rookie of the year. He was the co-rookie and All-Star MVP. He won the All-Star MVP two times. He's made like 4 All-Star appearances. He's made like the third team All NBA.
He took like 3 weeks off during his birthday and disappeared without telling anyone.
Yeah, these are all accomplishments.
These are
I agree with you. I'm just asking. How about Clay?
I think Clay, it's okay not to be on the list. I think he's fantastic, phenomenal, but I can't. I mean, 75, top 75, top.
I'll be honest, I would probably put Clay over Paul Pierce.
Oh, okay. I don't
like,
mind
if
that.
We just reduce Clay's championships, like just say like he's won it, he's a champion. Like if we just say he's a champion, Paul Pierce is a champion, they were both on stacked teams. Clay to me is more talented than Paul Pierce, I have to say. Clay's prime is better than Paul Pierce's prime, I have to say.
Yeah, yeah.
Clay... You talk about Paul Pierce as being a big shot, like he hit big shots. Clay is the guy you want to go to for big shots. Like,
he scored like 37 points in a quarter.
Yeah. Steph is on another level, obviously, but people like look up to Clay for his shooting efficiency and his shooting mechanics. It's otherworldly. He's one of the best shooters of all time. Like, you know, like if we're going to put shooters on this list, like Ray Allen, Reggie Miller, that haven't accomplished anything by themselves. You got to give me Clay, man, with 3 chips. You got to give me Clay with 3 chips and a dynasty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like that. I think you might have convinced me. Yeah, yeah,
like,
I agree.
Like, honestly, if it was reduced down... So Paul Pierce, fine. Like, whatever. It's not the same era quite. But, like, if it was Dame and AD, I would rather have Howard and Clay instead of Dame and AD. In terms of the impact on the game... Like,
yeah.
Dame...
Why is Dame
I'm not sure. Dame is probably, like, number 76 to be... Like, he's, like, the last on the list, like, I have to say. Like, I don't quite... I prefer Kyrie. Like, if it's a style, I kind of prefer Kyrie over Dame, just for style.
I mean, Kyrie's done more than Dame, right? Like...
That's my point. But, like, even if you say, like, oh, Kyrie has never won by himself because Dame... Like, Kyrie has never been the man... and Dame has only ever been the man, then, like, fine, that's, like, your argument. But Kyrie has kind of done more and earned more. Like, you know.
And just pure skill perspective, I want to take Kyrie more than I want to take Dame.
I think I've convinced you. Okay, this is a controversial one. Derrick Rose? Any love for Derrick Rose?
Oh, okay.
Where is he ranked? If he's not in the top 75, where is he ranked out of the top 75?
This is just like a tough one, right? Because of injuries, and that's all it is. And potential game rape. But, you know, Derrick Rose. God.
Is he not the most talented player to come off the scene? Like, youngest MVP?
Fundamentally changing the optics, the style of the game. Because this is, like, he was the first super aggressive, strong, attacking point guard, right?
Yeah. Before then, we were, like, talking about, like, Jason Kidd and stuff like that. Like, Jason Kidd was, like, a big, aggressive, big point guard kind of thing. That was the idea of a big point guard.
Exactly. But then just turn that up to 12. We thought Jason Kidd was aggressive. You look at Derrick Rose, like, Jesus Christ. This guy was, like, running down like a freight train, dunking over everyone. Crazy talent.
Exactly.
On a great team. And like you said, youngest MVP ever. So this is a tough one, right? Like, the potential was just off the charts. And it's not like he swindled it away or he like threw it away. It was injuries and that is all it is. And if you look at his stats now, it's still pretty good and he's still around. So that counts for something.
I mean, we dedicated an entire episode talking about Derrick Rose. I feel like we sort of have like this weird hate love relationship for Derrick Rose given his sordid past, but just non-realized potential. We never fully got to witness his full prime potential because it was just cut short by injuries. So, like, for me, I don't think he makes the list, but he's the most, like, entertaining snub because it's, like, or, like, the biggest what if.
I agree.
He could be, like, top 20 player of all time if he stayed healthy, honestly.
Yeah, I agree. And I think there's a bit of, like, projection. Obviously, there is a bit of projection.
Of course, there's a projection, yeah. I'm projecting, of
course. Peak Derrick Rose is better than, like, Dame, that's for sure, in my mind.
Oh, of course. Peak Derrick Rose is better than Dwayne Wade.
Peak Derrick Rose? You would see Derrick Rose jerseys everywhere.
Yeah, I bought a Derrick Rose jersey.
Like, in Australia, I saw Derrick Rose's jersey. I don't see any Lillard jerseys.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely pop, but Derrick Rose was just next. Because Derrick Rose stole MVP from LeBron, you know? Like, if you steal an MVP from LeBron, it means you're doing something right, you know?
Yeah, I like that. I like your take on Derrick Rose. Yes, he couldn't live up to the potential because of injuries, but those moments that he did give, that's what made the league, right? That's what brought the fans. That's why people loved basketball. And I think that's I would say that's more Derrick Rose than Dame Lillard or Paul Pierce or Ray Allen.
Unfortunately, Derrick Rose is always just going to be snubbed. He might never make the Hall of Fame. He might not make the top
100 list. If that happens, that's really bad. He's got to be in the Hall of Fame, right?
Is he? I don't remember. I remember we talked about him before, but I forgot where we landed in terms of being a Hall of Fame. So you're saying he's a Hall of Fame lock?
Okay, let's say he accomplished nothing more than the youngest player to get MVP. Like, isn't that automatic Hall of Fame? Like, that honor, being the youngest player to win MVP, like, that's Hall of Fame right there.
It's rare for any MVP not to get to the Hall of Fame. Any MVP. It doesn't matter, like, what, like how young or old, like, any MVP makes the Hall of Fame, generally. But like we said, the stats don't align with other Hall of Fame because his prime was so short. So, and he earned the MVP so soon that, like, it feels like everything since then was just so downhill and so negative, you know? Like, there wasn't a ramp up. It was just like rookie of the year, MVP, you know? Like, it just happened so quick. Oh, no, it was rookie of the year, first team all NBA, MVP in his third season. It just, everything just went up so ridiculously crazy. Like, you don't see that from any first overall pick. LeBron wasn't even that, you know? He was, must admit, he was close for sure, but LeBron didn't even get that.
Okay, we've gone way over. We gotta end this. We saved no time for my beloved Lakers. Unfortunately.
Oh, sorry.
It's going to be a quick update because the Lakers have not yet to win a game this season. So
we'll talk about the Lakers when they win a game this year. Yeah,
this might be a while. Are they going to win a game this in 2021?
I think Adam Silver is probably going to like cause the next pandemic if the next lockdown if the Lakers don't make the playoffs.
My personal message to our listeners this week is, look, sometimes you get up and your back hurts. You just got to toughen up a bit and still go to work, okay?
A little controversial.
Sometimes, you know, you try to use your electronic toothbrush and it's out of batteries and you forgot to charge it the night before. Don't worry, it's not mental illness. You're just feeling a bit down. It's okay, you can still go to work. But if your feet hurt, forget about it, okay? Demand your money and stay at home.
Forget about it. Just rest those puppies. Don't risk it.
Contact the government.
You need an injury settlement.
An injury settlement. Okay. Until next time, listeners, please, vaccinations 2 times, okay? Don't be like Kyrie. Thank you. See ya.
Yes, good message. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Your NBA Podcast with David and Kane. If you enjoyed our show, please tweet us at Your NBA Podcast.